Chapter 3, Public Choice as Diagnostic Framework, Incentives Inside a Politicized Judiciary. The previous chapter described the operational architecture by which a captured Latin American judiciary processes a politically inconvenient defendant. The description was, I hope, clear, but description without diagnosis explains nothing. The reader who finishes Chapter 2 should be left with a question: why does the architecture exist, why is it stable, and why do the actors within it not reform it from within? Public choice provides the answer. This chapter is the first sustained analytical chapter of the book, and I ask the reader to attend to it carefully, because the public choice framework I am about to deploy will be the analytical engine that drives the next several chapters. The public choice insight in one paragraph. Public choice begins from the unsentimental premise that political actors, judges, prosecutors, legislators, voters, bureaucrats respond to incentives in the same way that economic actors do. They are not selfless servants of a public interest abstracted from their own well-being, they are human beings with careers, salaries, mortgages, ambitions, ideological commitments, and reputational stakes. The institutional structures within which they operate determine which behaviors are rewarded and which are punished. If the rules of an institution reward partisan prosecution, prosecutors will be partisan; if they reward formal compliance with evidentiary standards, prosecutors will comply with those standards. Outcomes are not, in the public choice analysis, the result of personal moral character at the margin. They are the predictable result of the incentive structures embedded in the rules. Reform an institution by changing its incentives, and behavior changes. Leave the incentives intact, and behavior persists regardless of who occupies the offices, Buchanan and Tulloch, 1962. This is a deflationary insight. It is also liberating. It tells the classical liberal that the corruption he observes in a captured judiciary is not, in the first instance, a personnel problem to be addressed by replacing bad judges with good ones. It is a structural problem to be addressed by altering the institutional rules that produce the observed behavior. Until the rules change, the behavior will reproduce itself across personnel changes. The demand side: who wants politicized prosecutions? Let us begin with demand. Who within the Chilean political ecology benefits from the politicized prosecution of a classical liberal commentator? The political left coalition benefits in obvious ways. A high-profile conviction of a right-wing figure validates the narrative that the Chilean right is criminally culpable for the social conflicts of 2019, deflects attention from the coordinated character of the unrest, and serves as a deterrent to other right-wing voices contemplating public commentary. The communicative function of my conviction extends well beyond the legal disposition of the case; it is a piece of evidence in an ongoing political argument. Particular prosecutors and judges benefit individually. In a captured judicial culture, alignment with the dominant ideological coalition is professionally rewarded. Promotions within the Ministerio Público require the favor of senior figures whose own careers were built within the same ideological framework. A high-profile conviction is a credit on the prosecutor's professional ledger, an acquittal is a debit. The incentive structure is unambiguous. Sympathetic media outlets benefit through audience growth and advertising revenue. Politicized prosecutions are dramatic. They generate readership. The outlets that align themselves most aggressively with the prosecution's framing are rewarded with leaks, interviews, and exclusive access from prosecutorial sources, which they convert into commercial product. International left-aligned NGOs and academic networks benefit by acquiring a domestic Chilean exhibit for use in their broader narrative work. A convicted classical liberal commentator becomes a citation in articles about the dangers of resurgent right-wing extremism in Latin America. The defendant's actual conduct is irrelevant to the citation's utility. The leftist political base benefits from the effective satisfaction of seeing an ideological enemy punished. This is not a trivial benefit. Brian Kaplan has documented at length the role of expressive preferences in democratic politics. Voters and movement participants derive utility not only from material outcomes but from symbolic vindications, Kaplan, 2007. A conviction of a classical liberal symbol delivers a substantial expressive payoff to a large constituency. The aggregate demand for politicized prosecutions, in a country like Chile, is therefore substantial. The constituents who want such prosecutions are well organized, well financed, and well networked.